His grace. like we're all in storms, going through a storm, or just got out of one, no matter how long or how hard. But if you're a Christian, always remember this part.
Still doing nursing home today too, at I want to say Hillview. It's not Murray NHC, the new facility, but come and be with us if you can at 2. Carolyn and Billy usually show up at it, and we have a good time there. We try to sing to the residents, and they really enjoy that. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 26, verse 36. We're going to talk about Jesus in the garden today. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew 26, verse 36, we read these words, and you'll need your Bible because we're just going to read the beginning of this, but we'll continue through the text, touching on it. It's a wonderful passage. Matthew 26, 36 says, "Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." Aren't those wonderful words?
Yeah.
Our God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Let's do that again. Our God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
And we come to the end of this text, we're going to see a couple of words of Jesus. As we come to the end, he tells his disciples to sleep on now. Then he says, rise. And what Jesus is telling them is rest, but rise. And we're going to focus on that today. Rest, but rise. Rest, but rise. We rest in Christ, but we rise in the power of God. We rest because of what Jesus has done for us, but we rise empowered by Him. We rest because Jesus paid it all, but we rise because we are victors in Him.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to focus on today. Jesus came to a garden called Gethsemane. Now, Jesus came to a garden. I want to say this to prefix this. Before I ever talk about the garden, Jesus is called the last Adam in Corinthians. The Apostle Paul said, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was a quickening spirit. When the first Adam was created, he was created in a garden that was perfect. It was a beautiful place. He had everything he needed. He had all the food he needed. He had a wife that didn't cause him any trouble. Amen. He had a great place. They didn't even have to wear clothes. That sounds like around my house. Amen. And yours too. They had a wonderful place. He had everything. He was given in Eden, but turned it into something that was not an Eden by introducing sin into it. Jesus, the last Adam, was brought to a Gethsemane. Gethsemane means a garden of fatness. It means a place where the oil, the olives were pressed. And he was brought to that place, a fallen place for us. The first Adam was given a fruit not to eat. He fell because he listened to a serpent. But the last Adam, Jesus, went to a garden to pray and to prepare himself for what he did. Gethsemane shows us a lot of things as we look at Gethsemane. First of all, it shows us that sin is not a trifle. People think sin is a trifle. They think it's a small thing. You know, they have gay pride parades, and let's give everybody their rights, and let's do this, and let's do that. And everybody talks about it's okay to do whatever turns you on as long as everybody agrees on it. But that's not what God says.
Amen.
Whenever Adam was in the garden, I'm sure the serpent whispered into his ear, "It's just one fruit. What does it matter if you take just one bite?" But it was just one bite of just one fruit that brought us into that big mess that we're in today. Sin is in the world, and death by sin because of what Adam did. As Jesus went into his garden, as he went in verse 36, he tells his disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And Jesus began his battle with the devil by praying. I tell you this, if we were to pray more and think less, I think we would do much better.
Amen.
If we would pray before we did things, then God would guide us and tell us what the right thing to do is.
Amen.
I think God would lead us away from the terrible stuff that we stumble into and sin. And if we would pray with others, we would be blessed. In verse 37, it says Jesus told eight of the disciples to sit here. But then it says in verse 37, he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee. That's James and John. And they went deeper into the garden. And the Bible says that Jesus, as he prayed with these disciples, they gathered together. And I see this is a beautiful picture of God's church. You know, if we would pray together, we could conquer more things.
Amen.
I meant to ask you, Tim, how's your mama?
She's doing
better. I know Tim's been out looking after his mama. But, you know, I got a call yesterday from Lisa wanting the church to pray with her. It's good to be
Amen.
In a church where you can share burdens, isn't it?
Amen.
And that's what Jesus did. If the Messiah required two to pray with him, don't you think we need one another?
Amen.
Don't you think we need to come together and pray and seek God's face when we go into these dark gardens? Jesus is going into the darkest place he's ever going to be. And he doesn't do it by himself. He brings his disciples with him. He says, "Pray with me." He said, "Watch and pray." But look at what it says next. In verse 37, it says, "And began," Jesus began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Sorrowful and heavier are two infinitives in the Greek. And what that means is this, is that sorrow consumed Jesus. It says it consumed him. It took him over. I never see Jesus in the Bible consumed by anything. Jesus, standing outside of the tomb of Lazarus, wept. But then he said, "Lazarus, come forth," and he called the dead out of the grave. Lepers came to Jesus saying, "Can you do something for me?" And Jesus healed them. Jesus lifted up the blind. He gave the little girl life again. There was nothing that Jesus couldn't do. And I don't see anywhere else in the scripture where Jesus was consumed with sorrow. And that word "very heavy" means he was depressed. Have y'all ever been depressed? I don't mean depressed like you were a little bit late to the church social and didn't get that last piece of pecan pie. I mean depressed. Where you go off and by yourself and you're just consumed by this. Have y'all ever been that way? I have. I've been depressed. When life has brought things to me, I've been depressed. When things seem overwhelming to me, I'm depressed. As Jesus goes into this garden, he's going into the garden to prepare to go to the cross. But as Jesus views sin and he views the wrath that sin brings on God's creation, he is consumed with sorrow. And he's depressed. How dare we say sin as a trifle? How dare we make light of it? How dare we say it's okay? How dare we come together as a church and say it's all right to be that way if everybody says it's all right? It's not all right.
Amen.
Sin destroys the creation of God. Sin says, God, I know better than you do, and I don't care what you say. That's what sin says. Sin hurts God. And Jesus is the Word become God. And as He goes into the garden, He is consumed with sorrow and consumed and depressed at what He has to do. But He'll do it anyway.
Amen.
Oh, beloved, don't ever let the devil tell you it's all right to do this. Oh, it's all right. Let's get on the phone and gossip. It's all right. Let's gossip. Let's tear up somebody's reputation. Let's bear a false witness. Let's gossip. That's okay. We're not hurting anybody. It's wrong.
Amen.
It hurts. Let's talk about that sinner that came to church and let's mock them behind their back. That isn't what Jesus came for. We are here to share Christ with them.
Amen.
That even though they're sinners, that God gave His Son for us. And that there's hope for even the lowest person in Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ gave His life, that He died for our sins. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to name my sins in front of anybody.
Amen.
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 But God paid for my sins.
Amen.
Jesus was consumed with sorrow. He was very heavy. And it goes a little bit further into the text. I want you to notice, Jesus even says this. Look at verse 38. Then said Jesus unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Jesus says, I feel like dying. I feel like dying. Have y'all ever prayed the suicide prayer? I have. When my baby died at age of 17, I prayed the suicide prayer. I said, God, I wish You'd just take me home. Because it hurt so bad to lose my baby. We all come to that. But Jesus didn't come to this because of anything Jesus did. Jesus said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. I want to die. I want to die rather than have to go further into this garden of God. And He called Him on His disciples. He said, tarry ye here and watch with Me. And then look at verse number 39. Jesus went a little further and He fell on His face. And I looked through the scriptures and I couldn't find anywhere else in the scripture where Jesus fell on His face. He put His face down on the ground. I remember Adrian Rogers giving his testimony one time, and he said when he started to preach for Jesus, he said one day he went out in the yard and he got down on his hands and knees and he put his face down on the ground. And he said, Lord, I'm this low. And he said, I'll preach from this low place. And then he said, I got convicted and I dug a hole and I stuck my face in the hole. And I said, God, this is how low I am. I'll preach from this place. And God blessed that ministry. Because if you humble yourself before God, God will lift you up. God will bless you, but God will not bless the prideful. Jesus has never been prideful. He's God become man. He is the Son of God walking amongst us. But as Jesus prayed, He put His face down on the ground. And as He wept tears, He wept them directly into the dirt. And as He cried, I could see the mud on His face now as He cried. And as He wept and as He cried, He got ready to go to that cross. But He was not persuaded to go away from that cross. He still went to that cross for you and for me. What a powerful love that is.
Amen.
What a powerful love.
Mm-hmm.
That God would do that. That should make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
That should make you feel great. But it should also make you feel humbled.
Mm-hmm.
That God would do that for you. He cried, He laid His face down in the ground and He prayed. And then look what Jesus said as He prayed, the first prayer. He said, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. Father, this is a cup that you've given me. This is a cup that I have to take. But Lord, if there's any other way, let this pass from me. And I want you all to know that God did not give him another way because he continues to pray. People say, well, I think I'm good enough to get to God on my own. How foolish you are. If God could have found another way, he would not have done what he did to his son.
Amen.
If God could have found another way, he would have answered Jesus right then and said, I've got a better way. Let's do this. Let's give them some penance to do. Let's let them do this. You can't make yourself right before God.
Amen.
Only he who is right can make you right before God.
Amen.
And Jesus would have to shed his blood on Calvary. Jesus said, if it's possible, let this cup pass far from me. The Father did not record his answer in this text. But Jesus continued to pray to show us that it was necessary. Jesus prayed. And as he prayed, Andrew Bonar, as I read his sermon the other day, I love it. I read other preachers' sermon. I hope some good sermons will rub off on me. Don't y'all? Amen. I hope that I keep trying. I'm going to get it right one of these days. Amen, brother. But I love this. I was reading Andrew Bonar, and listen to these words. The universe saw him with his cup in his lips. It was our cup of trembling. The cup in which the wrath due to the multitude, which no man can number, was mingled. What wrath, what woe, a few drops made him cry. Now is my soul troubled. In the garden, the sight of the cup wrung out strange, mysterious words. Jesus was sorrowful unto death. Though God-man, he staggered at what he saw and went on trembling. Next day on Calvary, he drank it all. I suppose the 3 hours of darkness may have been the time when he was wringing out the dregs of that cup. Then he arose with a broken heart and cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As he ended the last drop from that cup, he said, it is finished. The cup is finished. He said, we may believe angels felt an inconceivable relief, and even the Father himself. So tremendous was the wrath and the curse, that was due our sin. Jesus paid it all. What a wonderful Savior we have. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in verse 42 that Jesus went away the second time. He looked at his disciples. Was Peter, James, and John praying? No, they were sleeping. They could not keep him company. In verse 41, Jesus told them, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But Jesus went away the second time and he prayed. And look at verse 42. He says, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He didn't ask the cup to pass that second time. He just said, Lord, if I must drink this cup, then your will be done. You cannot fulfill the will of God.
Amen.
If you do not promote the blood of Christ. You cannot be saved under the will of God if you do not believe that it's through his blood you're saved. Jesus drank that cup, and Jesus prayed that 3 times. He prayed the 3rd time, saying the same words. He said, Father, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Oh my goodness. My heart is filled just thinking about what Jesus did for me. And I am so grateful for the salvation I have in Christ.
Amen.
But my heart weeps. And I feel so weary at those who feel that they can get to God on their own. Who think that it's okay to just keep on and keep on and keep on and never stand up and believe in the Son and receive the Son. That hurts my heart. The Bible says that God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And there is no hope for a soul but that you cling to what Jesus has done. That he drank that cup in full and that he loved the disciples. And he loved you. When you come to him in faith and you say, Lord, I'll follow you, your destiny is assured. I know that we will all. They did a study a few years ago and found out, amazing study, found out 100 of every 100 people studied will all die. Did y'all know that? I didn't know that. I'm glad the government told me that, aren't y'all? Everybody shall die. The person you're sitting next to may not be here 10 years from now or 100 years from now. Somebody think, well, I'm young and I can wait a long time. You don't know when your expiration date is.
Amen.
You can tell when the expiration date on milk is. I've often wondered how they figured out the expiration date on milk. Did they ask the cow? But you can tell because it's printed. But Jesus said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So that means that though you may expire in this life, then you'll never expire.
Amen.
I don't know if they're going to have a pool party when we get to heaven, Jerry. And I don't know what kind of food they're going to have. But with all due respect to you, it's going to be a better party than you're going to put on. Though I'm grateful for your party. Amen. It's going to be better than any eating meat. It's going to be better than anything because Jesus drank the cup of wrath and of sin. And if you've received him as Lord and Savior, one day you'll stand before God and he'll say, my child. And he'll put his hands out and you'll run to his waiting arms.
Amen.
As they got ready to leave the garden that day, Jesus, looking, I'll end with this, verse 45 and 46. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. And then he says in verse 46, rise, let us be going. And as I looked at this text, I noticed the two words there. Jesus loved to say things that just make you stop and think. He comes to him at first, he says, sleep on now and rest. And then he says, rise. He says, sleep on and rise. And sleep on and rise. Now, you know, I don't think he meant literally for them to sleep on. You know, it's kind of like in a hospital. A nurse comes in and wakes you up to give you a sleeping pill. Can I get a testimony on that?
Amen.
You know, they don't care if you're asleep or not. They're just following a routine. I don't think Jesus was being a nagging nurse as he came to the ones that were sleeping. I think there's a message in what he said right then. Now what he said to them was this, rest, but rise. Rest, because I got your back. Rest, because I'm going to be betrayed. Rest, because I'm going to go to Calvary. Rest, because I'm going to drink the cup. Rest, because I'm going to take the penalty on myself. Rest in me, and trust me. But once you trust me, rise. Rise up. Don't be depressed. Don't walk around all hanged down looking like you're just a hanged dog. Look up. You know, the Bible says in Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall appear with him in glory. Therefore, put off these things. Put off fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil deeds, covetousness, idolatry. Put these things off. These are the things that the children of disobedience do. Put off anger. Put off wrath. Put off malice. Put off blasphemy. Put off filthy communication out of your mouth. Love one another. Don't lie to one another. Put off the old man. Rest in him, but rise. The world needs to see Christ in you if you're a Christian. Rise. Don't be lazy. Don't give up because your end is not yet. But one day you're going to see him face to face and receive your reward. And I can hardly wait for that day. If you're born again, rest in him. But rise. Rise in the way you live your life. Rise in the way you talk about your Lord. Rise in the way that you attend church. Rise in the way that you do things. I tell you, a lot of these people say they're Christians sitting at home on Sunday. Not a good witness.
Amen.
That's right.
Not a good witness. A lot of these people say they're Christians acting ugly down in the store. Not a good witness. A lot of these Christians say they're Christians acting ugly at work. Not a good witness. Rest in Him, but rise, because sin has no hold on you.
That's right.
Sin is dead. Jesus paid it all. Praise Him forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we love You so very much. We thank You for Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, that when You went to that garden, that You took that cup. Jesus, You could have called 72,000 angels that day if You'd have wanted. And You could have been released from all of that, but You went anyway. We thank You, dear Jesus, for going to the garden. We thank You, Jesus, for drinking the cup. And Jesus, it is You we trust in. It is You we love. It is You that we follow. Rest, Lord, You tell us to rest in You, but to rise, to do the things You tell us to do. To live for You. Let others see Christ in us, Lord. Make Your church grow, Lord. Make Your people reach out. Increase our footprint, Lord. Bless our youth ministry as we reach out on Wednesdays. Lord, bless them, Lord, as they reach out. I know, Lord, that they tire sometimes, but Lord God, let them rise. Lord, bless our Sunday school teachers as they teach, Lord. I know they tire sometimes, but Lord, let them rise. Lord God, bless us as we minister. Bless the deacons of this church, Lord. Bless me as a pastor, Lord. Bless our musicians, Lord, our choir. I know there's times when we're tired, Lord, but let us rise, because You have paid it all and we're Your children forevermore. Thank You for the glory You give us. And Lord Jesus, if sickness or trials or tribulations or valleys come upon us, Lord, let us not look at the trial, but let us look at the cross. Let us look to You. The cross is empty because You rose up and went to that cross for us. You died on that cross and You paid the penalty in full. We thank You for that, Jesus. If there's anyone here today that does not know You as Lord and Savior, let this be the day they will call out on You, Lord, and they'll follow You. Jesus, let them call on Your name, trusting You wholly. Let them stand up and make a profession of faith for You, Lord. Let them rise. Let them rise to be baptized. Let them rise to work for You. Let Your people rise to work for You, Lord. And Lord, we pray this as we end this prayer. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We want to see You soon, Lord. Until that time, make us faithful to You. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen. Go with me to a traditional favorite for our invitation this morning, number 330.